Folks, aren't you glad that that's the last blood that'll ever be? No more needed. Well, the choir sounded great tonight. I appreciate each and every song that was sung. And there was a confirmation of the message in part of one of the songs. I like it whenever it kind of comes together. And you'll see that here in just a little bit. But sure is good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. It sure is good to be saved, too. I tell you, this past weekend was a blessing, having that thing for the 10th anniversary celebration for your pastor. It was just such a blessing. And even in the skit or whatever you want to call it, whatever Brother Scott put together on the big screen, I know it was his work, but it was even comical, but yet it was done in love and it was done in fun. And I appreciate church, everything you ever do for us. If you've got a copy of the Word of God tonight, I'm going to start out in the book of Romans chapter number 8, but you're going to have to go back to the book of 1 Kings because the story that we'll be using for the message tonight will be found in the 21st chapter of the book of 1 Kings. But we'll start out in Romans chapter number 8 tonight. I don't know. Has anybody else got pollen? If y'all got pollen, say amen. Amen. I don't know what it is, but my white truck is yellow. But anyway, I feel something in my throat, and I'm not sick at all. It's just whatever's in the air tonight. But anyway, where was I going to go with that? What was I saying? What's that? Somebody say something. Please? Somebody say something? No. Let me just say on behalf of Sister Karen back there, she'll be having surgery tomorrow morning. So you pray for Sister Karen Miller. Tammy, as you notice, is not here with us tonight. She had surgery yesterday. So you pray for these ladies. One recovering from surgery, one getting ready to have surgery. So let's pray for these dear ladies. And then also the others that's been having different treatments and things. Brother Tim got a good report. And praise the Lord for his good numbers. And they're doing some different things for Brother Joe Minton. So you continue praying for Joe and just trust the Lord's going to do a work for him. And then also Brother Woody's started those infusions again. He's up in Asheville this evening. So you pray for Brother Woody and Miss Jeanette. It's their anniversary today. So if you get a chance, tell them happy anniversary. And then don't forget our sick and shut-ins. God knows the need in each and every one of them. Tonight, I just want to be an encouragement to you. So many things in this walk of life discourage us. I mean, you know, if you're not very careful, you'll get discouraged sitting on a very church pew week in, week out. And it's very easy to do. I've done it myself. I've got to the point in different times in my life, coming to church almost became a chore to me. And you've been there yourselves. I know you have, because if you've been in church any length of time, you have. It almost becomes a chore, a burden. I want to be excited about coming to the Lord's house. I want to get excited about my salvation. I want to be able to be excited, not just because I get to preach God's word again, but because I get to be around y'all. The Bible said we come to church for the edifying of the saints. And bless God, we get in here and we lift each other up. We can encourage each other. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to encourage you to keep on going. I mean, the devil's going to kick you in the stomach, going to kick you in the teeth. And he's around every turn and every corner you go around. There's always something there to discourage you. But be of good cheer, my brothers and sisters in Christ. He's overcome the world. And you don't have to be down and depressed. And be encouraged once in a while. And that's what I want to do tonight. I just want to encourage you to hang in there. And don't sell out. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just hang in there. It's going to be worth it just a little bit down the line. I want to go ahead and invite you to stand. And we'll give reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read maybe five verses in the book of Romans chapter number 8. And then we are going to go back to the book of 1 Kings chapter number 21. And we'll be there most of the night tonight. But aren't you glad that we've got an inheritance waiting on us? When my mom passed away, just been 4 weeks yesterday, mom didn't really have anything. I mean, she had a little house and a piece of land over there, and the house is probably, I don't know, she raised five kids in it. See, I've been married 31 years. So house is 60, 70 years old, I don't know. It's not worth a whole lot of money, but she never really had anything. But out of that, me and my brothers, we were all joint heirs, and everybody will get a fifth because there's five brothers in the family. There'll be a fifth part, and when you get a fifth of not much, it's just not much. But you know, Tim, I want my inheritance. I want something that mama would have given me. You know, there's some that gets a piece of clothing or a quilt or this or that. Mom's given us all quilts. We use the quilts that she gave us. We'll take them up on the parkway and throw one of them out. Macy's got a quilt. Mara's got quilts. But mama was a quilt maker. And those little things remind you of your mother. And in this passage of Scripture tonight, we're going to be talking about being heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that if you've got a piece of what God's got, brother, you got anything you'll ever need. In this walk of life, you may not have a whole lot to give down to your children. You may not have anything to pass along, but that's okay because we've all got something waiting on us when we get over there. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, we'll pick up the reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be also glorified together." Now flip back to the book of 1 Kings tonight, chapter 21. But also, I want you to just hang on to that thought that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Does God own it all, Brother Chris? Amen. He does. He owns it all. Everything He's got is His. By Him, everything that is made by Him and for Him. By Him, all things consist. It is just the way this thing's laid out. But He gave us His only begotten Son. And His only begotten Son gave His life on the cross of Calvary and made us heirs and joint heirs with Christ. What a blessing that is this evening. Talking about the story now in the book of 1 Kings chapter 21, you've got the story of a wicked king and a wicked queen by the name of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And we see the passage of Scripture take up the reading in verse number 1. It said, "It came to pass that after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." I'm going to stop right there, and I want to ask Brother Tim Anderson to go ahead and take his throne of grace tonight. And I want to just encourage you tonight. I want to give you this thought. Don't sell out. Don't sell out. I think I preached this message some years ago. I don't know. Y'all write it down. You keep up with it. I think that I preached it another time, and it was something like not for sale or something along that same line. But I just want to be an encouragement to you. I want to help you to hang on to what you're going to inherit one day. Master God, Brother Tim, we got a mansion waiting on us. Brother Kenny preached the other night. It's not just some little corner back in the shack back in the backside of glory. Bless God, Brother Kenny said, "I've gone away to prepare you a place." And what kind of a place was it? He had already told us. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And Brother Tim, I'm glad that one day we've got an inheritance waiting on us. But bless God, we can even sit together in heavenly places, even now here, right now, in this present day. We get to sit together in a place like this. Brother Toy, it's exciting to be able to come to God's house and be around y'all. It's exciting to me. I get excited. You get excited about going to God's house. I get excited about the God of the house. Go ahead, Brother Tim, or I'll preach and won't even get the prayer in. Amen. As you're being seated right now, think about some of the people in the Bible that sold out. I think about Ananias and Sapphira. Whenever it was common that they would sell everything they had, and all the disciples were doing that, Brother Tim, they come and put their money into a common treasury. But we'll remember those two kept back a portion of the price of the land that they sold. Brother Tim's over here already preaching my message for me. Yeah, they fell dead. Why? Because not because they kept back a portion, but because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Whenever the footman come to get the one to carry him out, he said, "Those same feet's going to drag you out of here." Why? Because you have lied against the Holy Ghost. But you see what happens? They sold out. And I'm asking you now, don't sell out. The Bible said in the book of Judas, that he in the book of John, that Judas was a thief.
Now, the other scripture don't come right out and say, and are not so bold as to say that Judas was a thief. They tell us that he held the money bag. The other scripture tell us what Judas was, and he even led up, and the Lord said, one of you shall betray me. And it's the one that you dip sop with. And they were questioning, is it I? Is it I? And he said, it's the one that puts his hand in the dish with me. But then the book of John goes on to say that it would be Judas, and that he held the money bag, not that he cared about the poor, not that he was one that would have a hold a great treasury. I believe the whole time that he was with the Lord Jesus Christ, as those that were giving money into the treasury of the Lord, and they did, because the Lord set over, Jesus Christ set over against the treasury, Brother Tam, and saw the little widow coming in and saw her put in her two mites. So he's the one that's got the money bag. All the while he's skimming off the top, because the Bible says that he was a thief, but he sold our dear Savior out for 30 pieces of silver. I'm going to encourage you tonight to hang in there and don't sell out. You may have recently changed churches, but don't sell out. You may have recently gone through some kind of a tragedy, but don't sell out. Brother Allen, I think about you all the time, but I would encourage you, don't sell out. Don't sell out to anything. Don't sell out to money. Don't sell out to popularity. Don't sell out to fame or to fortune. Don't sell out to circumstances. Don't sell out to anything. My God, you got a grand inheritance. And that inheritance is a part of the same inheritance that Jesus Christ would be a partaker of. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Why would you sell that out? You remember the firstborn of Jacob? What was his name? His name was Esau. What does that mean? It means that the first one gets the birthright. Brother Tim, with the birthright come many things, the priesthood, and it comes many other things. The firstborn, he had a grand inheritance because he was the firstborn. What happened? The heel grabber, the trickster. What happened? Yeah, he sold it out. What did he sell out for? I said, son of Jack, you knew what I was going with. For a bowl of porridge, lentil stew. Sold his birthright for a bowl of warm menudo. Sold his birthright, Brother Tim, for just a bowl of lentil bean stew. Sold his birthright for that. What are you going to sell out for? And what would it take to get you to throw in the towel? What would it take for you right now to just sell out? Troy and say, I know God called me, but I don't get to preach very often. Brother Joe says, I know that I was called, but there's not very many doors opening right now. I believe I'll just throw the towel in. Brother preacher, do not throw the towel in. You might be sitting here, but having you sitting on the pew here is such an encouragement unto this preacher. My God, that I need you here, because I know if anybody in here is praying, first it's my dear wife, because she says, she just part of me. We're one. But bless God, I know it's the other preachers, because you know where I'm standing tonight. But what would it take for Tam Cheek to sell out? Steve, what would it take for you just to throw the towel in? I quit. I'm sold out. I'm selling out. The devil's going to have his way anyway. I might as well just give in to his devices and desires and just go his way. Don't sell out. Preacher, you don't know what I face every single day. I don't know what you face every single day. But I do know who's going with you. Brother Greg, are you saved? If you're saved, bless God, you don't walk this walk alone. You are lock, stock, arm in arm with Jesus Christ. You can't separate yourself from Him, Brother Steve. There's nowhere you can go to get away from Him. Nothing can separate you from His love, neither death nor height. Nowhere can you go that you... So I don't care what you're going through. I mean, I do care what you're going through, but I don't care what it is, because it's not enough to separate you from God. Don't sell out. Naboth has got a vineyard. And he says those words in that third verse. I believe it was the third verse that I got through. Maybe he said, the Lord forbid me. In other words, you ever heard somebody say, God forbid? What's the Bible say? Now that we're saved, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the Bible say? God forbid. The Lord forbid me to sell you my vineyard, O king. I know it lays hard against the king's palace. I know it's in a very convenient place. I know he's offering money for it. And I know what he's going to give you is going to be a fair price. But let me tell you, bless God, if it's a gift of God and it's part of your inheritance, don't sell out for money or any other circumstance, Brother Tam. Just don't sell out. Don't do it. It's not worth it. I've thought about it, preacher. And I don't know what it is about me and you, but we got a kindred spirit. You go right now and You go have your adulterous affair. You leave that little lady you got your arm around right now, and you just go and you just sell out to the devil's crowd. You throw in the towel and you go on. Do you know what you've just done? You put a question mark around every revival you've ever preached, around 36 years of ministry, and all these people that come in under the sound of the gospel while you were preaching, and they're going to look at Kenny Anderson and say, but I thought it was real. And then you just sold out to the devil's crowd. Don't sell out. My friends, we're too near now to turn back. I don't care if you got saved last year, last week, or last minute. Bless God, don't sell out to the devil's crowd. You have an investment, and that investment was blood. Bless God, it was the blood price. It was the blood, the potter's field. It was that that cost us. Judas lost his life over 30 measly pieces of silver. Tim, don't sell out. Hang in there, brother. Yeah, you don't know what he's been through. He's been dealing with bone marrow cancer. Yeah, but he's got a great God. Preacher, you don't know what we face on a daily basis. Neither do you know what I face. And we have to be careful in our bold statements of faith. It'd be very easy for any of us to say, not me. Well, I would never sell out. What did Simon Peter do whenever he went to the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Before that cock crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, oh, wait a minute, Lord. Apparently you don't know me as well as you thought you did, Jesus. He said, I'm going with you. Where did he say he would go, Brother Tammy? He said, I'm going with you to prison. If they come and get you tonight and put you in shackles, they might as well take me too. What happened? They did come and take him and put him in prison. Where was Peter at? He's out there by the enemy's fire warming himself. Yeah, he lied. He's sitting out there by the enemy's fire saying, I know not the man. They said, you do know him. Your speech bereath you. It gives you away. You're one of them. He said, I don't know him. But he also said, not only will I go with you unto prison, but I'll go with you unto death. Now, we each one could come here tonight and make a bold statement and take a bold stand and say, I will not sell out. I won't do it. And you might find yourself being the biggest liar that ever stood in the pulpit or in this church house. Brother, wouldn't it be a whole lot better saying, with God's help and by God's tender mercies and by His grace, I won't sell out. Brother Tam, I didn't save myself, and I can't keep myself saved. Neither can Calvin Anderson. Neither can Brother Keith. You can't keep yourself saved because you didn't save yourself. So you better say, by God's grace, Brother Larry, I won't sell out. I don't ever want to sell out, Brother James. If there was a bid more going on for James Haynes' soul, what would the price have to get to before you finally sell out? You know the story of Hosea and Gomer. Gomer was bought back with a homer and a half of barley, Brother Tam, and 15 pieces of silver. That was her price. That's pretty cheap. A common slave would bring 30 pieces, but here she was on the half price bin, Brother Danny, sold out to sin, to adultery, fornication, everything else. But Hosea, meaning Yeshua, meaning salvation, meaning I'll buy her back. And we saw Hosea buy her back. In this passage of scripture, King Ahab, he's like a big overgrown bully and a baby. He's got support from one person and one person only. That's his wife. And they get together and conspire this grand conspiracy. Baby, if you want that vineyard, I'll get you that vineyard. He's all pooch lift. The Bible said Brother Tammy wouldn't even eat. The man's, he's a big old baby, grown up man, but he's a big old baby curled up in there like some kind of little fetal position, licking his wounds because Ahab done got the better of him, saying, God forbid me, the Lord forbid me sell you my inheritance. That belongs unto me. It was given by my family, bless God. And it's even biblical that I'm not going to give that thing up. Ahab all pooch lift said, but I want it. Jezebel said, if you want it, we'll get you the vineyard. Just hang on, baby. In the modern day church house, there's a few things I want us to think about. I want you not to sell out concerning this thought right here. The Bible says we are saved by hope. You've heard it said, the blessed hope, the blessed book, and the blessed blood, all these things go together. Tam, don't sell out the blessed hope, which is in Jesus Christ. Do you realize in the latter day, there's very few Calvary Baptist churches? I'm not saying there are not some good preaching churches around here. I wouldn't dare say that. There's a bunch of good ones. You're part of a good church, and many of you are part of a good church. But they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer between. Why, Brother Chad? Because they've sold out. What'd they sell out to, preacher? They sold out to the popularity of the world. Why? We just got to love them, preacher. We've got to, yeah, we got to love them. That's how we're going to win them. But we don't love them by becoming like them. My God, there better be some sanctification. There better be some separation, Brother Tam. We're going to love them, but we're not going to love them and bring that junk in here that they're going to feel so comfortable when they come in here. Because we're going to have everything in here that they've got out there. They're going to feel like one of us. No, we're going to feel like one of them is what's going to happen. And God's going to exit the building. There won't be enough power of God in here to even save anybody. Why? Because we'll desecrate His holy place. Amen. The glory hath departed. So don't sell out our blessed hope, which is only found in Jesus Christ. Troy, if you ever preach for me again, and when you do, and Joe, Brother Kenny, Brother Chris, all of you preachers, preach the Bible. Reach way down inside of you and find some fire and kick that thing up a little bit and say, Lord, this people are here tonight and they're hungry for something. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to sell you out for fear of upsetting somebody. I think sometimes that's why preachers do try to tender the moment a little bit and tone it down a little bit. Why? Because they know that somebody's here tonight and maybe that person just happens to be shacked up together. Is that still okay to say in Wilkes County, shacking up? That's what it was when I was growing up. If you ain't married, you live with somebody, you're shacking up. In the latter day, Brother Steve, they're just cohabitating. Cohabitating, what? No, they're shacking up. They're living in adultery or they're living in fornication. And that's still sin. But sometimes we won't preach it in that boldness. And we won't call it liars. We won't call it fornication. We won't say that person is a long-tongued gossip. We won't say those things because we may hurt somebody. Brother Tim, I'm of the opinion if they get hurt, they might need to be hurt because the Holy Spirit gives it to me to preach. I need to preach it and bear down a little bit. That's what your daddy used to say, bear down. That's what he would say. He'd say, bear down a little bit right there. And it's okay when you preach, bear down a little bit right there. Might just cause somebody to do a little self-introspection. Do you realize that when we got saved, your salvation was free, but it cost him everything? Ain't that something? It was free to you, Brother Joe, but it cost him everything. It cost him his dear life on the cross of Calvary. People are preaching many different, I guess what the term that we use is cliche to say, but easy believism messages. Just come as you are. Most of those, if you come as you are, you know what happens? You leave as you came. It's about the same thing that happens. God help us to never sell out what we've got here at the church house. Listen, you said, preacher, I've been in churches where they stomped and snorted and run the aisle and you couldn't hear the preacher preach for a half an hour. I never heard that preacher preach. Why? Because people are shouting him off, shouting him down. Mascon, they may not want to hear him. You ever been in one of those? We've had them come in here, Brother Tam, and at the end of the day, whenever the preaching was all said and done, Miss Jan, they shouted and screamed And I'm left wondering, what just happened? I'm not throwing off on them. I'm just saying, Brother Tim, sometimes it's just holy reverence. But let's not sell out what we've got here. Brother Kim, everybody's not going to be like Tommy Dollar used to come. And Brother Steve, he'd kick that long leg. And I felt his pant leg one time brush my ear. And I'm like, if I'd have been about 1 inch to the left, Brother Tim, I probably wouldn't have had a face. Because that's what he did. He would turn around and he would jump from the pulpit, Brother Tam, and land flat butted right in the pew and get up, not even miss a beat, and Joe, and go again. Walking up there on the backs, I don't know if I could do that. Walking up there on the backs of them things, just take off. And you're like, what in the world? Listen, we might not have all that, but we've got Holy Spirit. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ in here. Let's don't sell that out. Let's don't give that away. So many people today, are modernizing. I guess that's the best way you could put it. Modernization, is that a good? Let's ever sell out the book we choose. If we have a public Bible reading, and we all stood up to read one chapter, the 23rd Psalm, and you've got the ESV.
You got the RSV. You got the NIV. You got the NKJV. You've got the KJV. You said, what is that? That's the Revised Standard Version, the English Standard Version, the Revised, the National New International Version, the New King. What does that sound like, Miss Jim, when we stand up and everybody's reading from a different Bible? It sounds like utter confusion. Is that not what that would sound like to me? That's what it would sound like to me. And what's the Bible say about that? God is not the author of confusion. He's not of that. But that's not the only reason we shouldn't sell out the King James Bible. It is the Bible for the English-speaking people. It is the seventh completed translation into the English language. We should never sell that out. We shouldn't. Let's hold on to that. If we ever get rid of that book, we might as well just get rid of the pastor and get rid of everybody else in here. It's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Let's not get rid of it. Let's guard it. I know Brother Scott is always very particular. You ever heard Scott use the word Calvarize? He uses that in our singing sometimes. He and Karen will bring in a song and they'll say, we're going to have to Calvarize this. What's he doing? He's making it not politically correct, Brother Tam, but biblically correct. He's wanting to make sure that it lines up with our Bible. And I like that, Brother Scott. Guard it, because it'll come in through the music. That's a tool of Satan himself, is to come in through the beat of a drum or come in through whatever that it is, and he will use that. And next thing you know, he's infiltrated the church. He'll come in through our Sunday school quarterlies. He'll come in through the center text of a King James Bible. It's a King James Bible, but it's got man's opinions and man's writings somewhere through that thing, and he'll slip right in on us. That's what he does, because he's sneaky. Just don't sell out our Bibles, my friends. Probably going to make some people upset right here. I don't mean to. Calvary, I appreciate the way you come in. For the most part, everybody comes in here looking like they're going to see the King. If President Trump was coming and all his billions, and him being the president now with the first lady, brother, we'd all want to look good. Why? We're going to be right in the presence of the president. But Miss Sam, we're in the presence of royalty here tonight. We're in the presence of Jesus Christ. Let's don't sell out our method of dress and our standards. But preacher, I've seen it on the side of some churches. I've seen it on their church sign. Just come as you are. I don't care if you come in here and that's the best you can do to get here and you got on a pair of scrubs because you just pulled a 12-hour. I'd rather have you here in your scrubs than not have you here at all. But I appreciate you ladies looking like ladies. I do. Let's don't sell that out. Some have got more hanging out than they've got hanging in. And some of the dresses and some of the skirts and stuff, let's just talk about it. Modesty matters. Let's don't sell out the dress standard. You say, well, you're getting all that out of this. Apparently. The king wanted Naboth's vineyard. Naboth says it's not for sale. I'm not going to sell out. Why? He said, because it's part of my inheritance. What has God given us through his son? He's given us everything, Brother Tam, that I'm preaching about tonight. He's given us a place to worship. We should respect that and keep it holy. He said, be ye happy, for I am happy. No, he didn't. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He didn't say anything about your happiness level, did he? No, he didn't say that Steve would always be happy. He said, but you can have joy to the full. He said, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He didn't say anything about your happiness index. But he did talk about your holiness index. You ought to be holy. So here we are tonight. All over the place in the scriptures. But I want you to see, the king says, I want that vineyard. Naboth says, it's not for sale. Look what it says in verse number, going right down below that. Ahab said into his house, and he was heavy and displeased because the word of Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. And he said, I will not give it thee, my inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down on his bed and turned away and fell on his face and would eat no bread. Jezebel's wife came in, and she's just a picture of the devil herself. She said, why is your spirit so sad? Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? He said, because I spake of the Naboth, the Jezreelite, said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said, doest thou not now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat,
Let thy heart be married. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. That's a picture of what Satan's saying today. He said, I'll give you what you so desire. You want it in there? I bless God, I'll put it in there. If he has to rise up through some of y'all to bring it in here, he comes in here with us. He comes in here through the ill will and the ill-content heart and the lascivious nature of man. And he comes in through gossip and the hatred and emulation and all these things that we bring in through discord among the brethren. He comes in with us. Satan brings it right in here. We bring it right in here, Brother Tim. That's why it ought to do every one of us good once in a while to use the altar. Preacher, I ain't never used that altar. Bless God, you ought to think about it sometime. I'm not coming up there, you know. You don't do any good up, come up, I pray right where I'm sitting. If you won't humble yourself up here to the front of a church or in the front of anybody, I wonder if you would ever humble yourself. Bible said in that last day, bless God, he will exhaust you. But how are you going to get exhausted if you're already elevated? He said, you better humble yourselves. But then that's what we got to do. We got to get low that he might then lift us up. I've seen some people go every service, preacher. Bless God, they're probably about like I am. They feel like they need to go every service. I'm not going to ask you by show of hand, but I've been your pastor for over 10 years now. How many of you, don't you raise your hand, but how many of you have never been up here? How many of you have never used the altar? It would astound you how many hands would go up tonight and say, I ain't never been up there. Preacher, I know there's some that goes every time the doors is open. I don't worry about them, Brother Kenny. I don't, Brother Terry. I don't worry about y'all that use it all the time. I worry about those that never use it, period. I'm wondering, are you going to sell out? I hope, pray that you sell out to Jesus. You don't sell out to the devil's crowd. I read that scripture with a pooch lip up here saying, Naboth wouldn't sell me my vineyard. Bless God, that's the way we get whenever we think we want something, we think we need something, we desire something, and it's seemingly against God's will that we would have that right now. But yet we get all down and out and in the mully grubs. Next thing you know, the devil's sitting on you and said, you want it? You can have it. If you really want it, you can have it. Goes on down to verse number 9. So she wrote letters to Ahab's name. In Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal. She took the signet ring of a king. Look what she did with it. She sent the letters to the elders of the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. She wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, set Naboth high among the people. And then look at this line effort of the queen. It said, set two men, the sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out, stone him that he may die. If you'll continue to read the story, that's exactly what they did. They did the exact same thing. And then what happened was that Ahab got the vineyard. There's an old song that said, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die for the Lord. I can't remember, but you know what I'm talking about. Ahab may not have been in a battle like David was. I mean, Naboth might not have been in a battle like David was, but still he was on the battlefield. He said, he stood his ground. He said, I'm not, his demarcation line was drawn. He said, I'm not selling it. I am not selling it. Brother Chris, right before, soon that last rock pummeled him, when they stoned him to death, bless God, he went up to the heaven. He went up to where God is, Brother Tam. Yeah, but you said, yeah, but it cost him his life. Bless God, he's still got a grand inheritance out of it. Right. Why? Because he's refused to sell out down here. I wonder whenever we get to heaven. Miss Cindy showed me a song this week, and I thought about that song so many times. The name of the song is What If. Now, I want you to know something. It's by the McCamies. What if when we get to heaven, he shows us, Brother Tam, according to the scriptures, the Bible said because of our iniquities, because of our sin, he hath withholding good things from us. It's in the scriptures. I'll show you here in a minute. If you need me to, I'll look it up and quote it for you. What if we got to heaven, he said, I had so much more for you. But because of your lack of faith, because of your unbelief, you wouldn't trust. Because you didn't trust, you didn't get. Because you didn't get, you went empty. You left. And I've thought about that so many times that it even plays into this message tonight. Because Ahab wanted the vineyard of Naboth, and he got that vineyard, Brother Tam. But how did he get it? What did he really get? When he got that vineyard of Naboth, what did he get? He actually got something that cost, it was blood money. He got that tainted him, just like Judas got whenever he sold our Savior out for 30 pieces of silver. Who's been around here 30 years, 40 years?
I see a few hands. Raise your hand up. How was it then, and how do you see it now? Are you similar in nature as far as preaching? And is it similar? I don't know. I wasn't here 40 years ago. Similar in structure and similar in nature. Brother Kim, if we were to go back to the church where I used to pastor, there's probably similar in structure, similar in nature of what they had whenever they were in the old church. I say that to say this. You've got kids in here. I've got a daughter in here. You've got grandkids in here. You've got people in here that this is the only church they've ever known. Brother Preston, do you ever remember another church besides Calvary? I didn't think so. Where's my other little kids? They're probably in children's church tonight. But Tam, this is the only church they know. So whenever we hang on the old church back yonder, Miss Jen, we hang on. I remember how it used to be at the old church. We used to do that. I remember them talking about up at the old church. They used to raise the windows. Man, bless God, we'd pack that place out, and they'd stand around the outside, and they'd raise the windows, and they'd be looking in from the outside. And you feel that cold mountain breeze come through the windows at the old church. Yeah. You ever talk about here? Talk people talk about the old church? Brother Tim, this is the old church of them kids. We better show them something now. We better guard what we've got now. But see, the devil's trying to come and take that. He's going to try to take it away. And bless God, this is the only thing we've got left, Brother Danny. This is our worship place. And if we sell that out, what are they going to have? If every year we give up just a little piece, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, pretty soon you're not going to have anything left. We've each one been given some kind of an inheritance, and some of our inheritance is so, so, so precious. Our fathers, your daddy, Brother Tim, your father, gave us an inheritance, and it was handed down to us. We better guard that thing. And whenever the Jezebels and the Ahabs of the world come to you and say, Steve, I got something for you, buddy. I'll give you this if. Lord, help us to never taint the good work that we've been given, to belittle the inheritance which God hath given us. I want Brother Scott to come on up and get us a song. I want Macy to make her way over there. What would it take for Brother Ken Hunsucker just sell out to the devil's crowd? What would it take for you to sell out? You said, I'm not selling out. Like I said, I believe I preached this message probably before y'all came here, Brother James, but it was something like not for sale. I'm not for sale. Michael Combs sings that song, I'm not for sale. What's the price? What's the price that you would take to finally just throw it in the towel and say, I'm done with that old type worship. I want something new. I want something newfangled. I want something more modern. Is new and modern always better? I saw an old car not long ago, Miss Kim. I met it on the road, and it was on Country Club Road coming out through there. I was going to work one day. Brother Paul, that thing come around the corner. It was one of them where you can land an aircraft on the hood, like a Plymouth Grand Fury, about a 75 model or something. You know, probably more metal in that one fender than my whole truck was. Brother Tam, that thing looked like it was floating around there, just, you know, just like one of them, you know. I'm not sure that more modern is always more gooder. I'm not sure that. And I'll tell you this, I know it's not in worship. The Bible instructs us to remember the old paths and to walk therein. And when you do that, what do you say? He said, worrying is the good way. He said, there'll be something in that old way and in that old path. What do you say? He said, you'll find rest for your souls. But the people said what? We will not. We will not walk therein. We will not hearken. We won't do that. Bless God, we should, Brother Scott, because that's the good way. As we stand all over the house tonight.